back to John chapter 15 because we spoke last week of God's part in dealing with the vine and the branches. And I want to extend that now, and I want you to see what Jesus said about what our part is. Because we have a part as well in this relationship, in this union with Christ. We have responsibility. And in that responsibility, we have a necessary part that will bring about the kind of fruit bearing that we talked about last week. So we want to take that a little bit further today as we look at the next few verses out of chapter 15. When we were together last time, we talked and learned that God has specific actions toward us as relates to fruit bearing. He cleanses us. He lifts us up from the ground and the dirt and the place of non-bearing, puts us in a proper place of receiving the sunlight and the touch of God's refreshing rain, the Holy Spirit, so that we will begin to bear fruit and continue to do so throughout our lives here on earth. That's what our job is all about. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things that I have taught you. You see, and the whole idea is that they are born into a new life and they begin to bear fruit as one who is alive unto God. Now, we have very little doubt as we stand in the hospital and the mother is giving birth to a child. And it doesn't take very long after that birth is done, but what we hear is some screaming, some crying. There's noise. There's life. And you know there's life because the hands are flailing, the feet are kicking, and the mouth is going. And you know that never ends. Even when you get my age, there's days when the feet are going, and sometimes not as well as others maybe. But the hands are flailing, and the mouth is going. But I want us today to see that for all the care the husbandman gives to the vine, for the love that it extends to the vine, the fruit-producing power that he gives to the vine, there's a very crucial part of this relationship that falls on us. And he says so. It's a part that you and I play. And I want to look at that today. It starts in verse 4, and we'll talk at verse 4 and verse 5 today. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now the idea here is, the vine is growing and full of life. And from that vine, connected to that vine, are the branches as they come out. And through that branch flows the life of the vine. And as it goes through the branch, it begins to bear fruit. And pretty soon on that branch, we see clusters of grapes. Beautiful fruit. Now, Jesus is using that example as to how your life and mine will bear fruit in the days following our coming to know him and being planted in him and he in us. At that moment, we received him as Savior and Lord. We are connected to the vine. And because of that, the life of the vine flows through us. We have no life of our own. And as the life of the vine flows through us, then we begin to see the necessary flowering and the necessary fruit from that life that flows through us and gives life to the fruit, new fruit. You see, chapters 14 through 17 speak much of this wonderful, indissoluble union between Christ and his people. We have no life in ourselves. He has the life. He has the power. He does the producing. Our job is to abide. The great prerequisite for fruit bearing is abiding. Abiding. The life and the power are in the vine. The vine produces the fruit. The branch bears it up. The vine is known by its fruit also. For the fruit it produces reveals what sort of vine it is. Now we don't have to go very far in studying the Word of God and go back to the Old Testament. We find that there are times when God looked at Israel. He called them a vine many times over. Sometimes he called them a fruitless vine. They were not bearing any fruit. Other times he called them the wild vine. They were out of control. And because of it, they were not bearing the kind of fruit they should. And other times they were the vine that he cultivated, the kind that he nurtured, the kind that he cut back, and that he literally pruned. And the end result was great clumps of beautiful, wonderful grapes. And Jesus is looking at this and trying to help these men understand what it is that he's talking about. You and I are the branches of that vine. We are joined to him. We were joined to him through the cross. We were joined to him through his death and in his death. We were joined to him in his resurrection and new life. And that is when the life began to flow through us as his children. His life is our life. When we can get to the point where we begin to realize that the life we live each day is not ours, it is his. The sooner we will begin to understand how that life will bear fruit in us. Paul said it when he said, I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live every day is not my own. I have to quit putting my preferences into it. I have to take up my cross daily and I have to walk in the way he chooses for me to walk. And the way of the cross is never an easy way. It always goes against the grain of my humanity because my humanity is corrupted and full of sin. And so his life coming in flows through me. It's a different life. It's a changed life. It is a righteous life. It is the holiness of Jesus himself. And the Spirit wants to live that life out every day. In all of my circumstances, wherever I am, his life is my life. His power is our power. Now listen, if you're praying for God to give you power, you're praying for the wrong thing. You already have power because his life you already have. And his life is the power that changes hearts and lives and events and circumstances, and prays according to the will of God. What a glorious, wonderful thing to know that not only the life I live every day, to go through all the events that come against me, is his. but that the power that to get through those things, to deal with those things, and to be healed in every way is also His in me. For each day, for each moment, for each challenge that we face, He does the producing. We do the cooperating by abiding in Him. Now here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying this, get close to me. Get close to me. How close are you to the Lord? Is He off somewhere in heaven? Is that where you think Him to be? Is He in a brother or a sister and you can see it there, but somehow not that close to you? Listen, if you are a believer, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you've called Him into your life, He is in you. Can't get much closer. But you have to get rid of you in order to see Him and to get close to Him. And getting rid of you is no small task. As I told you last week, the flesh loves to live. It'll do anything. It'll make every promise in the book if you'll just let it live and not take it to the cross and crucify it. But to the degree that your self-life is dead, to that degree, the life of Christ is seen. If part of your self-life is alive and meddling in your life, less and less of Christ is seen. But if you have daily taken up your cross, if you have daily walked with God, if you have daily reckoned yourself dead indeed unto sin, the life of Christ begins to grow in you and is seen more clearly every day in the actions, because they will say, see that? He loves like Christ loves. See that? He forgives like Christ forgives. See that? He's gentle, He's kind, He's sweet. She or he is beautiful. And I see so much of the Savior in his or her life. But it comes through abiding. Because in our own strength, when we are cut off from Him, we can develop nothing but flesh. That's all we can do, and that is not pleasing to God. The Spirit indwells us in order that we might produce spiritual fruit. Everyone who has put his trust in Christ is His child, is in the vine, and has the life, the Spirit, and the power of God. Don't sell yourself short. Don't walk away from here today and think, well, I have to do this on my own. Don't walk away here thinking, I've got to solve this problem by myself. When you have all the resources of the living Christ inside you, because He kept His promise and came in when you asked Him to. And with it, He brought His Spirit and power to enable you to live the life that He died for you to live. Now, what He wants us to do, and this is the hard part, He wants us to rest in Him. Now, does that sound like a contradiction? He wants us to rest in Him. Rely upon Him. Abide in Him. Stay close to Him. Stay in close proximity with Him. Have fellowship with Him. Cling to Him day by day. Hour by hour. You know, we talk about great men of God down through the centuries, and you will find that the men who were usable by the Spirit of God were men who were abiding in Christ and in God. If we are abiding, we won't be looking at ourselves. You see? We won't be saying, well, I wonder if I have any fruit today. You won't need to worry about that. You won't need to look at yourself to see if that's true. You won't even be thinking about the fruit. As you abide in Him, you won't be thinking about anything else but Him. You know, there's nothing that impresses me more than when a couple come in and they sit down in front of me and they say, Pastor, we've come because we want to talk about getting married and wonder if you would marry us. And then to hear them over a period of the next half hour talk about each other and what they're learning about each other. Well, I've learned that he has real patience. He has to have in order to deal with me. You know, I'm one of those people. It takes another person with patience to handle me. And he has patience. And he looks at her and he says, and you know, she has the heart of a servant. She loves to serve, and I just love the way that she serves me. And because of it, it makes me want to serve her back. And the other one says, you know about him? One of the things I've learned about him is I've learned how he thinks. So I often can know what it is that he's thinking about something. Because of our communication together, I know what he thinks about it. I've come to know his mind. And then he looks at her and says, well, you know, I don't know if she knows my mind, but she must be able to read minds. Because time and time again, when I needed her to be there for this, she was there. Because she knew where I was and what was needed. And I listened to this. And we've decided that we would like to get married and we would like to live the rest of our lives together and develop this that we have, this wonderful relationship, and we love each other because of it. And then I think of Paul using that relationship, husband and wife, as an example of Christ in the church. Now that makes me think that then, as we walk close with him, as we become one with him, as the two who get married become one, the scripture says, so that I learn how he thinks, and I learn how he loves, and I learn how he forgives. And I learn how my life is now one with his in that same process as I grow from day to day and year to year as my life progresses. We're abiding in him, staying close to him. Doesn't matter. If your life is controlled by him, you will automatically bear fruit. It's going to happen. You don't need to be worried about it. As long as you stay close and abide, he will bear fruit for you. He gave you gifts. And through those gifts, he will bless you and minister to others. And in the process, bear fruit in the lives of those around you. I don't think there's anything more thrilling than be able to look at a brother or a sister and watch their life and say, you see how she loves? You see how she cares? You see how he's constantly finding out what's going on in the body, and he's there to help meet the need of whatever's happening? There's nothing more exciting than that. As we grow in our relationship with him, and the fruit flows from that life. And what kind of fruit are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're thinking about Him. Our focus is on Him. Our relationship is with Him. And our closeness is with Him. But the fruit is bearing out there because of it. Because it's His life alive in you and in me. You know, that fruit will be born whether you're on the job, whether you're in the factory somewhere, whether you're in the office somewhere, or whether you're in a shop, washing dishes at home, taking care of the children, doesn't matter. That fruit will be born as you live out His life each day in the events and activities of that day. You will do the everyday things with your heart in fellowship with Him. And what is the fruitage? Well, you're going to find it listed in Scripture, but you'll see it more often in the life of the individual. And that is love. They're loving people. Those who know Christ, who walk with Christ, who are living close with Him, who are truly depending upon Him and His life in them, they're loving people. They're not mean. They're not contrary. They're loving people. They also are people who show joy in their life. They're not sad all the time. Their jaw is not on the ground all the time because of things that are going on around them or in the world. They're people of peace as well. They'll do anything and go to any length to make sure that there's peace, first in their own hearts and lives because of their relationship with Jesus, but also with others. They're peacemakers. Blessed, Jesus said, are the peacemakers. Are you one of those people that walk into a situation and you look for an opportunity or a chance to stir things up? A word here, an inference there, but you use it and you poke somebody with it and they respond, and then you poke them a little more because you know they respond when you poke them. That's not what God wants. That's not who we're supposed to be. We're to love each other. We're to make peace with each other. We're to work together as God's children, blessed by Him. And we have peace. Long suffering. How long do I have to put up with this? We've asked that question many times. How long do I have to put up with this person? How long do I have to put up with this situation? How long do I have to put up with this boss? A number of years ago, I had a boss of all bosses. I was warned of it when I got the job. He said, you're not going to get along with him, you're not going to like him, and he is absolutely contrary. He will be on your case. He is one of these bosses that you just don't want to cross. I was given all the word warning about what this was supposed to be. And sure enough, as I began to work in the warehouse where I had to work, he was the boss. He was always unhappy with something. Never did anybody do the right thing. And as I began to see that develop, I found developing in me this little thing that wanted to kind of, you know, you want to be that way? Here, I'll give you a little something to be that way. You want to be angry? I'll give you a little something to be angry about. Just enough to stir it up, but not enough to get fired. And I began to see that developing in me, and I thought, God, this is not right. This is not right. You told me, and you've told all of our your children, that we are to be peacemakers, and that we are indeed to love those who do not like us, who come against us. But I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. That was my prayer. God, I don't know how to do that. And you know, I didn't hear a voice from heaven booming out the answer. I didn't even find at that moment, I found it later, but I didn't even find in God's word the words that I needed to know what to do. But from within my heart and my life came these simple little words, I know, let me love them. That was what I heard. Lord, I don't know how to do this. I know, let me love them. Well, how are you going to do that, Lord? Well, I live in you. I'll do it through you. Well, what do I have to do then? Nothing. Rest in me. I'll take care of it. And I thought, well, that was kind of strange. But you know, I laid back and I said, God, you take care of it. I'm no longer going to be worried about his actions, his words, none of it. I'm just going to do the job the best I can do because you told me whatever my hands find to do, do it as unto the Lord. So I'm doing this for you. And you take care of the boss. And within a very short period of time, the boss was leaving me alone. He wasn't leaving some of the others alone, but he was leaving me alone. And they came and asked me, what did you say to him? What did you do? And I had a chance to tell them about my faith and the Lord. And you know, when I left that company, 5 years later, they had, well, I didn't know this, but 5 years later when they had the going away party when I left, they had a cake, what have you. But what they did is they said, you know, we had bets going when you hired in here, just how long you would last. Just how long you'd last. We didn't think you'd last. Because it was a tough job to begin with, but then he made it that much worse. We had bets on how long, and who would get the pot would depend on how long you lasted before you quit. Well, 5 years later was way out of the range of anything they were betting on. But they had to let me know that they had those bets going. But I learned a very important lesson, and I still am very aware of that lesson. And that is that we need to let Christ control. We do. We need to let Christ control his life in us and stay out of the way and let him. By abiding in him, in his word, in prayer and fellowship, close to him, we are doing what Jesus is talking about here when he said, if we abide in him and he in us, then we will bear fruit. There's no question about it. Our relationship will bear fruit. It's a very common thing known down through the history of man, still true today, that this, when two people get together, they love each other, their marriage comes together, and the next thing you know, there's fruit. Children. There's children. Because they love each other. When you have that union with Christ, there will be children. Others who come to know the Lord. As well as the fruits of the Spirit, which will be an active part of your life in and touching those around you. So this morning as we close, it will be that God expects you and I not only to let him prune us, do what he needs to do to get the little bugs off us to keep us from growing fruit, all those little foxes that spoil the vines, but that we will abide in him, walk with him, talk with him, focus upon him, and get our eyes off the world and off of other people, off of events, off of situations. And if we'll do that, our lives will bear fruit for his glory. That he promises. Now, there's only one other thing I want to show you here, and it's just briefly. Two phrases out of this passage. And it has to do with two different types of branches. The first, he says, the branch who is in me that bears no fruit, I lift up and I clean up and I take care of. But he's in me. That's the whole point of the phrase. The next part of the verse says that the one who is not in me is only fit for burning. He's taken away in judgment. The one who has no connection with Christ. One that has no life from Christ. He's only fit for burning, Jesus said. That's that branch. But the branch that's in him, that is down and out and not bearing fruit, he still lifts up and gives opportunity to bear fruit and prunes it and cleans it and takes care of it. That's the one who abides in Christ, the one who still has the connection. The branch is still alive because it has his life. The branch is disconnected, dries up and withers because it has no life. And it's only fit for burning. So Jesus is clearly stating how he will treat his children and how he will love them and what he will do that they will bear fruit. But he's also telling them that there is in the world many who have no connection with him. They're branches, but they're withered, they're dead, they're dying, and they will be burned. As we go from here today, let us go knowing our connection, relying upon his life, his power, his authority, and letting his life be lived out through us by the Spirit so that we'll grow more and more like him every day. Just like Jesus would I be. The song tells us, just like Jesus would I be. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. But Father, we thank you for this wonderful message because in it we are told of your love and your mercy, but also we are told of our responsibility and our walk and what all that means and the fruit that should be born in our lives. Father, we just pray that you will cause us so to focus on our Savior that the rest of it will all be automatic, as you said, and the Spirit will do his work. Lives will be changed. Hearts will be healed. We pray this now in Christ's holy name. Amen.